Hello, everyone, and welcome to the weekly Monday market update for December 21st. My name is Will Gibson, and I'm joined this week by Charlie Coleman. Charlie, thanks for hopping on.
Thanks for having me on today, Will.
Sure thing. And we're going to hop right into it for our discussion, beginning with a weekly performance review, as we will try to do. And per usual, we have sorted by 7-day performance to get a look at the past week, what groups have done well, what areas of the market have done well or not. And do note that this data is through Friday's close, so December 18th. No intraday action, as we're going to touch on a little bit later, given that we are seeing some movement to the downside. But over the past week, generally, we've seen the crude oil space actually do remarkably well, leading the group of names here up over 5%. Following crude, we've seen some high momentum strategies like PDP and FV perform well, in addition to some high flying sectors, those that have been leading on the year, technology and consumer discretionary, to mention too. I also want to mention there's that Russell 2000 ETF, or that small cap representative, continuing to present itself as a leader as of late, especially in the past week in terms of performance. All those groups outperforming the S&P 500, that cap-weighted domestic proxy over the past week, which was up just over 1%. So still a strong week for the broad market. And then we see some further weakness as we go down, with the worst performing group actually being the Energy Select Spider Fund. So Charlie, I know we were talking about that before we got on the call, that you have an interesting price dispersion between crude oil and the energy sector.
Yeah, so crude is actually up over the last 7 days. We're actually seeing some weakness today, however, as we see crude down roughly 4%. And so it's really interesting to see XLE, which is made up of several of the largest energy companies of the world. Think Chevron, ConocoPhillips, Marathon Oil and Gas, really all of these names that you would think would benefit from higher crude prices, really just not doing as well as would be expected. And just kind of as a funny side note, natural gas is really, taking advantage of the winter cold this year, as today we're seeing natural gas up 6.8%. And really over the last month, it's up over 35. So just really a tremendous run from part of the commodities market that can be overlooked.
Yeah, sure thing, Charlie. That's really interesting. And not to mention, that's notable participation in that space, kind of tailing off of that precious metals trade, in at least for a large part of this year. For what it's worth, silver is up today, but by and large, yeah, Charlie, a lot of participation, and maybe from some different areas or often overlooked spaces within the commodities group. So thanks for that. Perhaps continuing on the participation front, moving back out of the commodities and just general performance, measuring participation through our bullish percent indicators, more looking at the equity space now, and also getting into maybe something much more time sensitive in terms of today's movement on December 21st. We're seeing a bit of a pullback. We're opening up for major indices and trading higher as we were in the early morning hours, recovering some of those losses. But I did want to mention the participation here for the respective universes. And we're calculating participation by the percentage of stocks within each universe that are currently trading on point and figure buy signals. So a higher chart value in this case is going to tell us that more stocks are participating in the market move upward, or less stocks are participating in downward movement. And then, of course, the opposite is going to be true, where a smaller number tells us fewer stocks are participating in the move higher. So what we have here for the respective universe is an intraday calculation and a chart value. So our intraday calc is through 11:30 Eastern time. And we note, generally, those are pretty close to the chart value. So for the New York Stock Exchange, intraday, we're still seeing about 73% of stocks within that universe remain on point and figure buy signals. And then as we work our way down our list, not a ton of dispersion. The SPX, I have highlighted that. So bullish percent for the S&P 500, percentage of stocks in that large cap weighted universe that are on point and figure buy signals, has deteriorated a bit to 72% on the day, at least through 11:30. But still a high reading. I mean, 72% of stocks on point and figure buy signals is going to be a sign of strength generally. And we see that followed through to other size and style groups as we move lower. Moving on from just broad equity participation, I also want to mention the S&P 500 chart. So maybe zooming out a little bit from those bullish percents. Just noting the price movement on the day, I mentioned we have seen a bit of a pullback, and that pullback has manifested in a column change on that 20-point chart, as we've put on the left-hand side of the screen here. It's pulled back to an area of initial support, which we would define as 3640. And then I want to also note that we have stair-stepped subsequent support down at 3560, as well as 3520. So some close levels of support that we're going to be looking to should this continue lower. We're going to make sure to monitor those if we see further weakness. But by and large, we're still well above trend line. We're trading on 5 consecutive buy signals from this view. So from that perspective, this appears to be healthy at the moment. And if you look at other size groups, particularly smalls and mids, some broad indexes tracking those, you'll note some similar chart movement, a pullback from, quite frankly, near or at all-time highs. And in addition to that, a lot of those were pretty frothy as well. So pullbacks from those on the day. Last comment about the S&P 500. It's not all red across the screen. The financials group is up as the time of we're talking right now. And of the 20 best performing stocks today, about 60% of those are also in the financials group, which makes sense given the previous statement. But generally speaking, domestic markets, fair amount of participation, pullback from subsequent froth levels on some charts. Going and pivoting to the international space, specifically emerging markets. I know, Charlie, we wanted to talk about this a little bit today. Just starting with the chart itself for EEM, note that we're still on 3 consecutive buy signals. We do not note a pullback on that chart through the time of our discussion. We do offer initial support at 47.50 at that November pullback level. Also well above trend, well above that bullish support line, as we would say. And that fund is still carrying a 5.28 fund score. So that ranking of 0 being the worst, 6 being the best in terms of ETF scoring in this particular instance, still scoring very well and positive picture from the technical front, Charlie.
Yeah, and actually taking that even a step further, looking at the asset class group score, we're up over 4. We're at 4.34% for emerging markets diversified, with a positive score direction of almost 2. So one of the highest score directions. So we're seeing a lot of movement really over a short period of time here in emerging markets. And, you know, the chart really does kind of show that story that, you know, through the year we've been able to see it really push up to levels that we haven't seen in quite some time. And a lot of that, looking back, you know, specifically over the last month, a lot of that has come from that material sector. So, you know, swinging back to commodities for a minute, which are a very big impact on emerging market countries, as they generally are the producers of the raw materials. Materials has been the highest returning sector within EEM over the last month, and is right kind of in the middle of the pack over the year and is actually positive on the day. It's one of the few areas that is actually very positive for the day in emerging markets. And that's not really surprising when you look at, you know, today we're seeing steel rebar up over 4.5%. We're seeing iron ore up over 2.5%. So really you add that on to what we've seen over the last month, iron's up 30% and steel rebar up over 12.5%. So really just kind of a lot of strength out of those core commodity, those industrial metals really helping to propel a good chunk of this asset class forward. And, you know, just kind of one thing to note is materials companies are a relatively small weighting. Emerging markets are heavily made up of financials and information technology, as well as consumer discretionary, which, you know, have been the leading drivers of emerging markets for the year so far. And next slide. And so when you look at the S&P 500 versus emerging markets, so if we see X's, that means the S&P is outperforming. O's means that EM is outperforming. We've actually kind of seen a reversal over the past couple of months, where we've seen more relative strength coming out of emerging markets. And when you combine in this with the positive score direction, when you really look at that very strong fund score, it really is no question that, you know, we are seeing something very special going on in emerging markets. And when you look at some things outside of just the traditional technicals that are on our site, and you actually look at consumer sentiment, you look at what analysts across the industry are saying, you're seeing the same thing. So that top left chart is actually the sentiment of emerging market equities. And we're actually seeing, you know, it up at some of the highest levels that we've seen in the past 3 to 4 years. When you start talking to analysts and asset allocators and saying, you know, which areas of the market do you think are going to outperform? Last month, emerging markets were really kind of at the top of their game versus everything. That includes the S&P 500. This month, they took the reading again and actually found that there was more strength. So 60% of the people interviewed are actually saying that they're expecting emerging markets to be the top performing asset class next year over the S&P, over Bitcoin. I know we've got a lot of people that follow Bitcoin out there, for better or worse, as well as over treasuries.
Yeah, Charlie, those are great points. And thanks for bringing to our attention here. And so maybe to round out our conversation, I know we were talking about this earlier and might as well talk about it now, and that days like today are great reminders of why to be diversified, to not be over concentrated or taking more risk than you're comfortable taking, or furthermore, as we like to say, buy or sell to your sleeping level.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, looking at today's market movement, you know, that idea of diversifying away from even just equities, not even just U.S. equities, but equities in general, you know, we're seeing key areas of fixed income really performing well. So things like TLT up on the day, SHY, which is 1 to 3 year treasuries, really kind of flat, providing a nice stable baseline for the day, where, you know, even those risky areas of fixed income like high yield or convertibles, you know, doing better in some cases than their equity market counterparts.
Yeah, for sure. And various places across the platform, we can also note that there's a fair amount of participation in technical strength, like you mentioned, across asset classes, whether it's international equities, pockets of fixed income, pockets of commodities, there is technical support there. So maybe in the further discussion of diversification, it's not like you're going to have to take a loss and buy something that is technically weak and not be too concentrated, given that there is widening amounts of participation, at least at the moment.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, one of the areas that I always use on the site is the asset class group score. One of the things I am partial to, just because it provides me a nice quick look at the overall markets. And, you know, really looking at that, we are seeing, you know, different areas of the market really representing across the top half of those scores.
For sure. And maybe to round out our talk here, if you need help locating something on the platform, or if you're curious more about some things that we were talking about today, or just simply have some general questions, you can always reach the Richmond Analyst Team at 804-320-8511, or you can type dwa@dorseywright.com, and we're very responsive there. You're not going to get an auto-generated response, and we can usually get back with you as soon as we can. So all of that said, Charlie, I appreciate the discussion and insight and nuanced points that you always bring. And I thank you, everybody else, for tuning in. I hope you have a nice holiday week, and we'll hope to talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.